I don't really need the sugar. I'm already wound up. Before I get started, I just want to make a disclaimer. I'm going to talk about myself somewhat, some of the things I've seen the Lord do, the way He's used me. I want to make sure you know it's not bragging. I'm not boasting on myself. I don't know of anybody else's testimonies to give but my own. I live a life of repenting. The Lord's always dealing with me about something I need to repent from. I have problems just like you. I have bad days. I have days I need to turn to the Lord more than once. I have issues. I'm just like you, except the only difference between you and I, maybe, is that I have an expectation and an anticipation of the Lord working in my life or doing things. And I hope after today that if that's where you are, that you don't have this anticipation and expectation that it changes in your life. So, I was just, when I got saved, I felt like the Lord had just picked me up and thrust me into the kingdom of God. I was driving up Route 2 in West Virginia, going up New Cumberland Hill, going to see Linda. I was dating her at the time. And I was under great conviction all that summer. I got saved sometime around August. But I didn't know I was under conviction. And I'm driving up the road, up the hill. It's after dark. I'm crying, cussing, and screaming at God and blaming everything on Him because I had nobody else really good to blame it on. Because my life was just messed up. I didn't drink and do drugs. And believe me, you can get your life messed up without doing that. And I'm just yelling at Him. And all of a sudden, my emotions are taken from me. And it's just like I am right here. And I knew God did that, and I blamed Him. I said, "You have no right to do that to me." I said, it's the first time I really ever prayed. I said, "You have no right to do that to me. I'm really upset. I have some problems. I should be able to cry about it." I mean, if there was a videotape of this, it'd really be next to stupid. That really happened. And immediately, out my windshield, I see this vision of Christ dying on a cross. And within split seconds, He shares the gospel with me, which I did not know. I did not know the gospel. Shares the gospel with me. I make a determination in my heart to get saved. And all that summer, these demons ran around with me. I did not know what they were. They were in the car presently, and the Lord told me what they were, what was in the car, what was causing all this fear in my life. He told me, tell them to get out. So I got out of the car, opened the door, told them to get out. I didn't know what else to do. They never come back. Later on, as the years went down, you know, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I started seeing so many marvelous things. At one point, and some of you probably heard the testimony, I rode a motorcycle to work back and forth from East Liverpool when I worked here before Linda and I moved up here. And I fell asleep on the motorcycle at 60 miles an hour. And this place where I was going through on Route 45, it was a 55-mile zone. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. I was working an afternoon shift. And I just looked down at the gas tank. Well, this is wintertime. And I was bundled up too much. It didn't get real cold that night. And I looked down my gas tank to see how fast I was going because I knew this state trooper sat there every night. And I was right on the mark. I was running about 55. Well, I looked out the speed limit. I dozed off. 10 seconds is a long time when you're going 55 miles an hour. When I opened my eyes, I was looking at the tank, and I thought, oh, boy, this is not good. And I looked up, and I had already failed to make a left-hand turn on the highway. I went right down in the ditch at 55. And I just remember screaming out, Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me. I never closed my eyes, never closed my eyes. And all of a sudden, He translated me from the ditch. I didn't ride out of the ditch. He translated me from the ditch up onto the road at 15 miles an hour. And He's still screaming, Jesus, help me. I thought, nobody will believe this. The Lord has just done things in my life to show me the supernatural. He's done things in my life to show me how powerful He is and how there really is this thing about calling on the Lord, and things do happen in your life. And I just feel like He had picked me up and just thrust me into this thing. And I'll tell you, I love it. I just love it. I enjoy it so much. I love seeing things happen to other people. Healings, words of knowledge, prophecy, different things that take place. It's just like the presence of the kingdom of God is so close there, and He's just revealing Himself. I have such a taste to see the power of God. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. I'm going to talk to you about the power of God and the promise. It was a promise that Jesus made to let us have this power. And it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you may hear that and say, oh, he's going to talk about baptism of the Holy Spirit again. Oh, I know about it. I don't know if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Maybe some of you are, maybe some of you aren't. You know, there's so many different views of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In a half hour, 35 minute session, I can't cover them all. So I'm going to touch on what I can. And then I want to give testimonies about Jesus and myself for reason to show you something. So, the first thing I want to talk about is distinguishing the difference between salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some people teach, and that's why I was 8 years receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because I was so confused with the teaching that's out there in the church I was in. Some people say that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit as soon as you get saved. Others say you don't have to talk in tongues. Others say it don't happen at all. Others say Pentecost happened one time, never happened again. Now, I'm going to go rather quickly, so take a pencil, jot down your complaints, your questions as we go through this, and we'll see what we come up with. Okay, the promise of the Father. Remember that line, the promise of the Father. I'll tell you, when the Father promises something, that's a big deal. Pretty big deal. Let me start out, I like to say, page 2. Paul Harvey was one of my favorites. He used to say that. John 20, 21 through 22. Now, to begin with, when you read the four Gospels, if you'd read them all together and write down everything, they would intermesh like this. Everything is not said in all four Gospels. Some things are only said in one Gospel. A lot of things are said in all four Gospels. But if you read all four Gospels and mesh them down together, you get a complete picture, really a good picture. Well, in John 20, 21 and 22, Jesus has rose from the dead. He comes up to the disciples. Now, these guys have done everything they can do. They followed him. They believed in him. They've done everything. But they're not born again because, see, being born again, the Spirit of God wasn't given to a man to be born again because Christ hadn't died yet. But now he died, rose from the dead. Here he is in front of the disciples. And you know what he does? He walks up and he goes, it says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That was their born-again experience. They got born again right there in John 20, 21. If you flash over to Luke 24, these are some of the last words that Jesus speaks. Now, the last words a man speak are pretty important. You know, if you're a CEO of a company and you're going out of the country for months, years, and you're speaking to your leadership, you're not going to say, paint the bathroom blue, redo the carpet. No, no. You're going to give pure instruction to the last important things on your mind. I know Linda and I own rental property, and sometimes we have 1, 2, 3, 6 people working for us at a time. And boy, when I got to leave to go, and I'm maybe going to be gone for the rest of the day, I don't tell them, oh, you know, just mess around, do what you want. No, I tell them what's on my mind, the last thing for that day, what's really important. I tell them, this is what has to be done. Well, this is what Jesus does in Luke 24. It's really neat. 24, 46 through 50. Listen to what Jesus says. Then Jesus said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witness of these things. Verse 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endowed with the power from on high. He promised them. And he told them, don't you go nowhere until you get this. Wow. Last words. And if you read Acts, it says pretty much the same thing, Acts 1, then he goes up into heaven. Look at Acts 2:32. I want to zoom through some of this so I can get to the rest of what I want to talk about. In Acts 2:32, now, this is after the day of Pentecost, and Peter is preaching to the people about what happened. This Jesus, now listen to this, this is really cool. This Jesus, God has raised up, of which we are witnesses, Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. He gave it to Jesus. Jesus is the one, he says, I will pour out my Holy Spirit upon you. It says right here, God having received the, or exalted to the right hand of God, Jesus, having received the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. The Father gave this promise to Jesus and he poured it out. Skip down to 38. Now, all this time, Peter's preaching to these people. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I know the disciples don't go around baptizing anybody unless they get saved. That's why he told them to repent. Repent. Get saved. Then he says, get baptized. You don't get baptized until you're saved. And you're not saved unless you're born again. When you get born again, you don't wait till you're baptized to get born again. The Spirit of God gives them the Spirit of God to you. That's what it means to be born again when he says receive the Lord. In John 1, it says those who receive him, he gives them the power to be the sons of God. So at this point, Peter says, then Peter said to them, repent, get saved. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. You're now born again. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Two different things. Two different things, being born again and having the gift of the Holy Spirit. 39, I love this one. For this promise of the Father, salvation is never deemed or termed in the Word of God the promise of the Father. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is. Verse 39, for the promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord God shall call. It is for everyone. Everyone. And it did not only happen once. Many people will tell you, Day of Pentecost happened one time, never happened again. That's not so. Acts 8. 14 and 17. Now, it'd be nice if you read the entire chapters of these things. I don't have time to do that for you, so I'm just kind of picking out the nugget part. But in Acts 8, 14 and 17. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When he says receive the word, they believed what they were told. They received the Lord. Who, when they had come down to pray for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, he had not fallen upon none of them. They only had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine me up here? Somebody comes down, they get saved. Maybe they got saved the other day and they got baptized in water. And I'm asking them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they say no. And I say, and a gang of people hear me say, oh, you only got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus? See, we count that a very important thing. So does Peter. But he's drawing something out of this. Now, I've never said, oh, you only get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, Peter has an agenda because the Lord told him, you will also get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Two different things. Isn't that something he would say that? Oh, you've only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. 17. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. In this passage, it doesn't say they talked in tongues. But early on in the passage, there was a sorcerer by the name of Simon, and he wanted to get saved, so he did. And he's watching this. And then the apostles lay hands on these guys, and Simon offers to pay money to be able to do that. Now, if I walk down, I do to Mike, receive the Holy Spirit, I'll bet you there's going to be a rush for people to want to pay me to be able to do that. No. They saw something happen. It's just not spoke of. Those guys spoke in tongues, and Simon wanted to have part of that. He was a sorcerer, you know, right before he got saved. Well, he got rebuked heartily for wanting to give money for the things of God. But this is after the book of Acts. I mean, pardon me. This is still in the book of Acts. This is after chapter 1. This is after the day of Pentecost. Do you see it's still happening? It happened more than once. It just kept happening. Look at Acts chapter 10. I'm trying to show you it was not a one-time thing, which a lot of people try to tell you it was. Acts chapter 10, 44 and 45. Now, I'll just tell you a short part of the story. This is Peter. This is after he's seen the vision of the blanket come down or the sheet come down. It had animals in it that were unclean. The Lord said, kill them and eat them. Peter says, oh, no, they're unclean. The Lord says, don't call anything unclean. I call clean. And what he's doing, he's getting at Peter so he can teach him that the Gentiles that they thought were unclean, they're not unclean. That they can receive salvation. That's what he's driving here. And then he ends up dealing with another man, Cornelius. Cornelius is a godly man, but he doesn't know the Lord. He's not born again, but he wants to know about the Lord. So he sends an angel to him, and he speaks to Peter. And Peter's going to his house, and they're going to hook up. And here's what happened. While Peter was still speaking these words, telling them about salvation, to Cornelius and his household, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the Gentiles. Wow. Hey, chapter 10, that's way after the first day of Pentecost. It's still happening. You see? It didn't quit. No, it didn't quit. If you go over to chapter 11, verse 13, see, Peter goes back home, and the brothers hear about what happened. He went into an unclean house of a Gentile. Ooh, that's it. And they're telling him, you know, what are you doing? What are you up to? And so he's telling him the story, the whole deal about the Lord speaking to him, about the angel going to Cornelius, and this is what he says in 13. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, send men to Joppa, that he's telling about Cornelius. Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you the words by which you and all your household will be saved. And as I began to speak, Peter saying, as I began to tell these guys about Jesus, the Holy Spirit fell on them, as upon us in the beginning. Then I now listen to this. This is really cool. If you're not careful, you'll read over this. This is really cool. Then Peter says, then I remembered the word of the Lord. See, this wasn't like church doctrine yet written down. This will happen. Jesus told him when he left in Luke. He told him in Acts before he left. And Peter's just getting hold of this. Peter says, 16, then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You know, he's catching on. See, it keeps happening, keeps happening, keeps happening. Didn't happen just one time. It wasn't just back on the day of Pentecost. No. The last one I want to show you here is Acts 18. Acts 18. Hey, are you guys with me? Yes. You following this? Okay. Sometimes I have a hard time following myself. Oh, Dr. Pepper. God bless Jason. Verse 24 and 25. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, now read this real slow and catch this, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. He was mighty in the scriptures. He came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord. This man's born again. He's saved. He knows the Lord Jesus. And being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. He knows the Lord. Though he knew only the baptism of John. So then skip over to 19:1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. And he said to them, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He doesn't mean, did the Holy Spirit come in you? Of course the Holy Spirit come in them. When they believed in Jesus and they asked him into his life and got saved and believed in him, of course the Holy Spirit come in them. That's not what he's asking them. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much heard whether there be a Holy Spirit. I've had people tell me that. And I worked at American Steel. He had gotten saved. And one day we're eating lunch together. And I said, Jim, you ever hear the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit speaking? I never heard that, Bill. Let me tell you about that, Jimmy. I give him a 10-minute session on getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, he had to go back to work. And the job he did, he puts on this face mask, he puts on a helmet, earmuffs, and apron, and all this garb, and these gloves, and he picks up his big grinder. It's a 220 grinder to grind steel out like nothing. And he starts grinding on this drawbar. It's a coupler. And he tells the Lord, well, Jesus, if that's real, what Bill's telling me, then baptize me in the Holy Spirit. And he's right there. He just starts talking in tongues. He comes back for lunch. Just like these guys. They never heard of it. He never heard of it. He goes back for lunch. He goes, well, I got it. I was totally amazed. It made my day. I did something right. I told somebody I got baptized by the Holy Spirit. Oh, I couldn't believe it. Verse 3, and he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, well, John indeed baptized of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe in him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. These guys are saved. This is after the day of Pentecost. This is chapter 18. I don't know how many years that is, but it's after the first day, the first outpouring. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues. Happening all through church history. Do you know? The word dispensation means period of time. It's a fancy way of saying this period of time. Well, this dispensation, they're in, we're in, right now, until Jesus comes back. Yeah. And it continues today. I used to hear people talk about the Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles, but I never got to read about it. Well, I read about it this past week. Oh, my. It was in 1906. I don't know how things are lost. Things are lost in Christianity. You know, we lost water baptism for a long time. It wasn't even significant until it was reinstated by Christians that just saw the significance of it. Well, this baptism of the Holy Spirit was lost. And this little Afro-American church in L.A. started seeing that. And they started pleading with the Lord to be used and to receive this anointing and that they might be able to spread the gospel. And one of the men there, he walked up and down the Los Angeles streets every day handing out tracts and witnessing. But he said he needed power. He wanted more. And that little church in 1906, I don't know what day it was an evening. Oh, they just started falling over and speaking in tongues, getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when you read it, it reminds you of the book of Acts, the day of Pentecost. They stayed all night, went out the next morning on the porch, praying in tongues. Oh, a crowd of people got around them, probably people mocking them, people wanting to know what was going on, other Christians wanting to know what's going on. I mean, Azusa Street Revival, 1906, you need to read about it. Just tremendous. Well, that was a springboard that just started bringing the baptism of the Holy Spirit back into the United States, back in this nation. Hey, and it's still happening. It happened to me. It happened to a lot of you people. We're way past the day of Pentecost. This is way more than 18 chapters. Don't you know? I took a survey one time when I was at work. I wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit yet, but I taught people about it because I understood it. I just didn't believe I could have it. So I would tell people, and they would get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, they would get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I think, boy, that's cool. Wish that happened to me. I was 8 years. Oh, boy, disconnect, you know? But I took a survey one time. I went around asking people, are you used in spiritual gifts? Oh, I play the piano. No, no, no. I said, I want to know about the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. No. Do you speak in tongues? No. I go to the next person. You ever used those spiritual gifts listed in the Bible? Oh, yeah. You speak in tongues? Oh, yeah. It was consistent. Now, I didn't go around the world. But I pulled enough people to open my eyes that this must be a real evidence of receiving the baptism. That it comes with it. Now, would a man that owns a company, let's say a construction company, let's say a carpenter like Jesus. This man owns this company, and he's going to hire these men to build all these houses. He's a very wealthy man. He has investments to make, and he's going to build houses everywhere. So he hires all these men. Oh, he's got all the equipment. He's got the bulldozers, the road scrapers, the earth removers. He's got, you know, that thing with the tripod in the ground. What do you call that, Paul? You know? This thing the surveyors use. I don't forget what it's called. And he's got the automatic levelers. He's got all the equipment and the electric planers to build a house. So he teaches them to build a house. He says, you guys are ready. You're ready. I want you to build about 30,000 more homes. Don't quit till you're done. And then he packs up the truck and takes all the equipment but a couple shovels. And the guys say, pardon me? Takes all the good equipment and leaves some shovels and a few things. Well, if you don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts, that's what Jesus did to you. Because see, any encounter you read about Jesus being used, I think they're 9 to 10 to 1. He was using spiritual gifts. Word of knowledge. Healing. Casting out demons. He was used in spiritual gifts to get this thing rolling. See, when Jesus came on the scene with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were hard blocked into religion. They were hard blocked into this religion. This is what's truth. The philosophy of the day was just in a hard block. This is what's truth. Government, they were in a hard block. The Romans were in a block. This is what truth is. Nobody could get through it. It's just like today. I go down to the steel mill. I'm telling you, I can preach my guts out. Few people listen. Those guys start coming up to me, and I pray for them, and they get healed. It's different. It's really different. Well, the Lord wants to break through that cement wall around people's minds. That's when he intervened into history, and he came with all the power of God. He came with all the power of God to just break through the minds of those people and the things that they believed, and he did. Now, would he expect us to go win a nation for him, a city for him, a state for him, a neighborhood for him, and take those things away from us? At one point in the Word, I can't remember where it's at. Anyhow, he sent out 70 guys that weren't even born again. He goes, endow you with power. Go heal the sick. Cast out demons. Oh, they come back. They were thrilled. They weren't even born again. Do you see it? It's a separate thing. He gave them the power to go do all those things. They weren't even saved. He did it again with the disciples. The other 12, he did it with them. They were just amazed. Why would he strip us from that when he left? He wouldn't. We have a job to do. We need all the tools we can use. And look at Peter when he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. This guy was cowering in a room. He was scared he was going to be killed. He denied Christ. Now, I know he got saved, but I want to tell you, when the Spirit of God comes over you and you're starting to be using spiritual gifts, it does something to you. Now, I witnessed to a lot of people, but after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and I started seeing spiritual gifts take place and broken bones getting healed and words of knowledge about people and prophecy, it just created an atmosphere in my heart of the reality of the kingdom where I wasn't ashamed or embarrassed. That's what it did for Peter. That's what it does for people. It opens the eyes of your heart that you might be able to see and touch the reality of the kingdom in a closer way. Let's read where it started. Acts 1. That was the introduction. That's what my paper says. Oh, I'll get in trouble when Kurt gets home. Acts chapter 1. Let's read this, 4 through 8. Again, this is a recording of the last moments with Jesus, with the disciples. And being assembled together with them, listen to this, he commanded. He didn't suggest, hey, you guys might want to hang around and get this power. Hey, if you got time, don't leave yet. That's what he said. It says he commanded them. I looked that up in 5 different translations. You know what it said? Command. Ooh, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. There it is again. Which he said, you've heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Go down to 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. That word power, we get our word dynamite from that. Dunamis. It means miracle working power. Just like Jesus had. Now let me tell you something. I'll eventually do probably most of the things Jesus did. Maybe greater. Ooh. Blasphemy, Bill Powell. Ooh. Well, if you look that up in John, that's just what, I think it's John 13. Not sure where it's at. Maybe 14. That's just what it says. It says if we're obedient to the Lord and give our lives to Him and love Him, it says that we will do the things that Jesus did and even greater because He goes to be with the Father.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, I'm just gullible enough to believe that. I mean, is that cool what we've been called into? We're in the biggest, the most dynamic thing that's in the whole universe. And we get to be part of it. Ugh. I got to settle down. Page 3. I'm going to read you a verse. And have you ever heard of trivia questions? Well, this is a trivia statement. You ever hear of a trivia statement? A trivia statement is something that's said you just have a hard time figuring out. Acts 10:38. This is hard to figure out. This is again Peter preaching to the Cornelius family. We're going to pull a little bit of his preaching out of it. Verse 38. This is what he says. I'm going to read 37 and 38. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. Now, we know about John baptizing him and the dove descending on him. But we don't get what happened. When we read that little piece of scripture there, we just know the dove came on him and the voice said, "And my son, whom I'm well pleased." But we don't, somehow there's a disconnect of what took place. Well, Peter's telling you what took place. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Who went about doing healing and good and oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, it's hard to comprehend that. Here's God in the flesh, but he was born of a natural woman, though he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't ever say Jesus spoke in tongues. Him and his father were one. They understood one another. He didn't need something. But it says when we speak in tongues, that we pray perfectly, and we pray what the Spirit of God wants to pray to God, though we do not know. Paul even said, I pray in tongues more than y'all. Paul was used to write over half the New Testament. He was a very godly man. And here he is praying in tongues more than anybody. It says also, when you pray in tongues, it builds you up in your most holy faith. Oh, I never notice anything. Usually going to work every morning, a 15-minute drive, I pray in tongues all the way to work. And I pray in tongues when I can't else the rest of the day. I got my respirator on down there, and nobody can hear me. Sometimes they say, what are you saying? I'll say, nothing. But they can't hear me. They don't know what I'm saying. I'll pray in tongues a lot down there. Now, I don't ever sense anything happening, but I know I've proved the rest of the Word of God in finances and in everything else. I know when He says I'm being built up in my holy faith, I am. That's quite a trivia statement. That the physical body of Jesus, born by woman, conceived by God, had to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit in order to do his ministry. Is that wild? I have a hard time wrapping my head around that. But that's what Peter's telling these guys. So think on that. Now, I want to give you some testimonies. Matthew 8, 25 and 27. I'm not going to read these. You can mark them down. You can read them yourself. I'm just going to tell you about them. This is where Jesus calms the storm. You know, the disciples are in the boat and Jesus is sleeping. Bad storm comes up. They think they're going to get killed. And they wake him up frantically. Do you not care about us? Now, Jesus could have done this. He could have got up in the boat and gone, shh, be still. And the whole thing would have calmed down because he's the boss. Instead, dramatically, peace, be still. He did it in front of them. Why did he do it in front of them? He's wanting a testimony to them. He wants them to see who he is. He wants to teach them. He could have just settled down. No, peace, be still. It's like he made a scene. He did it on purpose. It was a testimony to them. I did that one time. True story. I was this with this Christian brother. This guy didn't buy into spiritual gifts much. Every time I give a testimony about healing, he didn't believe it. Good brother. God loves the Lord. Loves the Lord. I'm helping him move. And our first load. I'm telling you, storm. A storm come up. Oh my God, black. It rained, started hailing. And I thought, we're not going to be able to get this done. Well, pretty soon I thought, we're not going to be able to get there. That's how bad it was. And I looked at him, I said, hey, we're going to pray. We're going to tell the Lord, move this thing. A man in a truck, I just said, in the name of Jesus, get this storm out of here. Oh, to my surprise. I mean, you never know. I'm telling you, this is a true story. It was less than a minute. It was less than a minute. It was almost immediately. It blew away. It's like these clouds just blew away. Blue sky and sunshine the rest of the day. He was impressed. Now, for him, if you knew this guy, for him to be impressed, something really happened. He goes, wow, didn't you see that? I said, and I made like it was in everything. I said, yeah, I saw that. I was surprised. I mean, it worked. Man. But what did he say? What did he say? He commanded, don't leave. Wait on the promise of the Father. For sure you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and power. That's what he said. John 4:9-39. The lady at the well. You know, this lady, this Samaritan woman's there, and Jesus walks over and he asks for a drink, and Jews and Samaritans don't talk out on him asking a woman for a drink of water. And she's really surprised about that. And she draws the water up out of there, and she goes, you know, this is really, really different, you know. The disciples had gone into town for food, and he starts having a conversation with her. He says, won't you go get your husband? She goes, I don't have one. And he gave a word of knowledge. See, he knew. He said, yeah, you had five. Ooh, she perceived he was a prophet. Well, they conversed. She runs into town and tells everybody, I met this man. He knows everything about me. Well, all these Samaritans run back out there and a bunch of them got saved. They believed it said. Well, one word of knowledge about a woman. See, Jesus did that stuff all the time. Linda and I, who here remembers Vernon Prince? These lights are so bright, I can't even see it. Okay. There was a man in our congregation. He'd gotten in trouble with the law, and we knew he'd gotten saved. He knew he was going to have to go to prison. So he went to prison. And we was wondering, how can we get him out early? Well, the lawyer said, rarely does one convict have one person that will speak for him. Rarely. He says, if you'll come up and speak in his behalf, it'll be a big deal. Well, I think there was a dozen of us to 18. I can't remember. There was a gang of us that went up. We're in a Warren courthouse, and it's packed. I've never been anywhere like that. The corridor was twice as long as this building here, and it was wide, and it was like a circus. It was full of people, and people were hustling, bustling, and there's lawyers, and it was like elbow to elbow. And people going in and out of courtrooms, and all of a sudden, I make eye contact with this young woman about from here to April. And the Spirit of God starts dealing with my heart about her. Go talk to her. Go talk to her. Oh, I'm crying. I look like a fool. I'm crying and slobbering over myself. And I walk up to her and I said, the Lord's telling me I got to talk to you. Well, what's she going to do? I mean, at this point, I didn't care. It was so bad on me, I wanted to get it off. And I'm just telling her. She tells me that a drunken woman had hit her granddad and killed him. And she'll never forgive him, never forgive him. She's about 18, 19 years old. There's a man and woman standing on each side of her. I don't know if it was her mom, dad, or not. So I start sharing the gospel with her and tell her if she doesn't forgive, she'll never be forgiven. And these two people are shaking their head like that. A lawyer spoke to them, rushed them off. Now, Linda and I are standing there, and standing right behind her is the woman, about 40-some years old, that killed her grandpa, looking us right in the eye. And this is what she says. I'm the one that killed him. What do I got to do to get saved? It was like a Billy Graham moment. I thought, Linda and I looked at each other. I said, did you hear her? She wasn't how to get saved. I said, come on over here. Linda and I took her over, set her down, got her little Bible out, started talking to her, and she got saved. Now, that would have never happened if it hadn't been a word from the Lord or a word of knowledge. Do you see? Now, what happened to her family? How many people did she tell? Oh, my. What did it say in Acts? He commanded, don't leave until you get the promise of the Father. You'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence, and you'll receive power. You'll receive miracle-working power. That's what it said. Let me tell you just a couple more now. I'll quit. I'm going down through this. This is a good one here. The woman that was caught in adultery. This is kind of a weird scripture compared to all the others. This woman is caught in the act of adultery. Pharisees, you know, find her. Of course, they're going to throw her out in front of Jesus, see what he does. So that's what they do. They bring this poor woman out, throw her down at Jesus' feet, and they're all standing. There's a gang of them. They're waiting to stone her. Because they know Jesus, if he's going to tell the right thing, needs to say, stone her. And they think they got him in a catch-22. So they say, hey, we found her in the very act. What are you going to do? Well, nobody knows what he wrote in the sand. He bends down, writes something in the sand. Then he says, the first one with sin, cast the stone. One at a time, they all walked away, and they walked away, and he asked the Lord, the woman, where's your accuser? She goes, I have none. He goes, I don't accuse you either. Now, it's weird. He doesn't say, do you believe in me? He doesn't say anything. He says, go and do right. Now, I just find that odd. He gave her instruction, go and do right. We got in with a guy up in Cuyahoga Falls to get our life insurance license to sell life insurance. And we're up at this man's house one night, and we're getting our pictures taken and getting ready for this test and all this stuff. And I pray every time before I go somewhere, Lord, use me in spiritual gifts. Let me witness somebody. Let me see somebody get healed. Well, it was by 10:45 that night. Those guys are still getting their pictures taken, and I'm done. I thought, well, nothing's going to happen tonight. So I went from the living room down to this sunken dining room just right beside him, and I'd never met his wife yet. His wife was across from me sorting out papers at a coffee table, so I didn't bother her. And I picked up Reader's Digest. I'm just reading it. And the Lord says, and some of you probably heard this, I've given this before, he said, go tell her, I know she has affections for other men to stop it. Hey, now imagine that. Now just imagine. I knew they both just gotten saved. They were new Christians. Excuse me. It kind of took my breath, to be honest with you. So I put the Reader's Digest down, took a little peek at her, and she's just doing paperwork. I put the Reader's Digest back up, and I said, you tell me one more time, I'll do that. He told me right away, and I still didn't want to do it. I said, please, a third time, and I'll go. The Lord did that. He told me a third time, just as distinctly. So I put the book down. I walk her, sit beside her, said, I used her name, and I said, hey, my name's Bill. I said, here are you and your husband just got saved. Yeah, we just got saved. I said, pretty neat, huh? I said, do you know anything about the Holy Spirit? She goes, no, not yet. I said, well, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me while I was sitting over there, and he told me that you have affections for other men. She grabbed her face and fell on the floor. See, the Lord, let me see what verse it is. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says we're used as ambassadors of Christ as though God were speaking through us. If you're sensitive enough, he'll use you in ways like that. Now, I didn't do it insensitively. I did it very carefully with this woman. And when she was down there crying, the Lord told me to give her a word of instruction, personal instruction, what to do about that. So I did. And then I prayed for her. And she just peacefully sat back on the couch. I never saw her again. But that made my night. To think I was being used in the kingdom of God. And it probably made her night that, you know, if she would have continued to know what happened, somebody would have given her attention to pray out an affair, broken up their marriage. Young Christian couple. The Lord does these things. But first he says, I tell you, I command you, go wait on the promise of the Father that you might receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you'll be endowed with power. That's what he said. One more, I'm done. Let me pick out. Oh, I want to tell you about this one. This is really cool. There was a in Acts 16, 6 through 7, Paul and Silas were stopped by the Holy Spirit from going into Asia. They're getting ready to go into Asia. The Holy Spirit tells Paul, no, don't go to Asia. And through a set of circumstances, he finds out he should go into Macedonia. So he goes into Macedonia, and a lady there named Lydia and her whole household gets saved. Well, the closest story I have to that, I was never going to another country and the Lord didn't tell me. But I tried witnessing to a guy one time. When I work at American Steel, I still work there. When a new man comes on the job, the first day I share the gospel. I don't want to wait a week. The guy will wonder why I didn't tell him a week ago. I mean, I just think, gee, I need to tell this guy the gospel. The first day, we're there about 3 hours. We get a break. He's a laborer and I'm a welder. And I walk up to him. I said, hey, this is how it happened. I took the breath to speak, and as I took the breath to speak, the Lord goes, no. I mean, I look really foolish. And he just looked at me like, what do you want? I said, well, nothing. I'll talk to you later. Next day. This is a true story. Next day. But this would have never happened if it hadn't been for the Lord giving me a word of knowledge about what to do. It had never happened. I'd have talked to him, and I'll tell you the end of the story. It would have probably been a mess. I mean, it wouldn't have turned out like it did. Second day, there he is. And I take the breath in to say the word. You know how you got to take a breath in to talk. No. Wow. Man. Third day, same thing. So after that, I said, okay, I'm done. I don't know what to do, Lord. Until you tell me to witness that guy, I'm not saying nothing. I'll let it go. Well, as we worked together, he come up to me and he goes, I perceive that you're religious. I didn't know what I was allowed to say. So he's telling me about family problems and kids raising family and wondering what I would do. And I said, well, the Bible says, and that went on for months, the Bible says, and one day he comes up and he says, I perceive you're a Christian. I went, inside, I went, yeah. Not that I wanted him to know I was a Christian. I wanted him to know what I was up about, what was going on. And, you know, it wasn't too long after that he came to our home with his wife. Linda and I are sitting at the table having a Bible study. Linda starts talking to him about her Bible study about hell. He gets saved. He's scared of going to hell. He tells me the next day at work, you know, it's a good thing you're not a radical and you talk much and not loud because I'd have never gotten saved. That's something. And he's touched a lot of lives. What'd Jesus say? He commanded them not to leave, wait on the promise of the Father, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and power. That's what he said. Oh, I got a bunch more, but you get the idea. You see what's going on. There's two verses I want you to remember. 1 Corinthians 12:1, Romans 12:1. It says, not to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. This is New Testament scripture, New Testament church, our dispensation. Don't be ignorant of spiritual gifts. And in Romans it says, desire spiritual gifts. The word desire is a strong word. It's like a man lusting after a woman. Desire her. Well, desire spiritual gifts. You got to ask. You ask the Lord to be used. And you think, oh, I won't be used. I'm just some quiet little girl. Oh, yeah, he will use you. And you never know when. And you can't pick what gift you're going to be used in. It depends upon who you're around and what the circumstances are. Sometimes it gets ticklish. I was in court once. I got to go through the court thing and, you know, be on the jury. And we went in to deliberate. Everybody in their right mind knew this guy was guilty. I mean, you got to be out of your mind not to know this man was guilty. And we all went in there. We all knew he was guilty. So we went in. And there's prominent people from town in there. And these guys are wearing suits. I'm in my blue jeans. And there's a doctor. And there's a store owner. Some ladies, you know, dressed up nice. They have own businesses. And I felt like I was kind of like the mill worker there. And we all sat down to deliberate. And we elected a foreman. And he just sat there and didn't say. He said, well, what do you guys think? And nobody spoke. And the Spirit of God came over me. He told me to speak. I said, well, you know, we all know he's guilty. I said, there isn't much of deliberating. Just like you all know you're guilty before Jesus Christ of your sin. I said, you know it. Just like you know this. The Lord said, that's enough. Oh, man, I can't believe that came out of my mouth here. And I got embarrassed. I just put my head down. They didn't speak for about a minute. I mean, evidently the Lord was taking stock in those people's hearts. And that was never brought up again. You never know where God's going to use you. But the Lord gave us tools, and I hope somehow you've been stirred in your heart. If you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or you think you are and you don't speak in tongues, I hope you research the scriptures and think about this thing. And if you think you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and you don't speak in tongues, you ever been used in prophecy, laying hands, see somebody healed? You ever been used in miracles, word of knowledge? Yeah, I've been. You know, I like to talk to you. I mean, I like to talk about that. But the Lord wants to do mighty things, and we keep talking about winning alliance. We keep talking about having revival. The Lord does it through people. He'll do it through people. That's what He'll do. And boy, I tell you, this is just a small aspect of it. But we have to be ready to be used. And we have to be able to hear from the Lord. And we have to be willing and desiring. So would you all stand?